pray that you'll just wrap us away from the world, Lord, and the things of the world, the cares and all little things, all the big things that are out there and have influence on us and we on them, and come under your tutelage this morning, Lord, your teaching, so that we can be not just your care, which we certainly are, but we also are caring for you and receiving of your word, Lord, and the life in that word, and putting all our hope and all our faith therein, going down this road, Lord, which will soon be terminated, because we know things are just about over. The handwriting is on the wall, Lord. We know it's been fully interpreted. The seal's open. We know, Father, nobody can close it. It's going like that Roman candle, and one day there'll be a bride taken out of here, and by your grace, we believe we'll be a part of that bride. Help us to be instructed in your word as a bride should be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just before we go to number 25 on leadership, I want to make mention, last Sunday morning, of course, I went into a subject of what is important to me on the grounds of so many things being said about Jesus Christ himself personally. That's the man, Christ Jesus, that was born of the Virgin Mary, whose soul went to hell, whose spirit was commended, went into God's hands, whom God raised from the dead, and placed in the right hand of majesty on high. And I understand from more than one source that the reason there are those who thought that Jesus was kind of in a coma was because, based on Brother Branham's vision, that he was caught away and he looked down upon his body, and he wasn't at all cognizant of any workings of himself concerning his body. And so therefore, then, to all intents and purposes, we could have the body more or less, if not completely comatose, and whatever life was there, which of course would be the very life that you and I depart with. And when we leave our bodies here, that life would be going on. But the Bible doesn't teach that. How can you base anything upon Brother Branham anyway? You have to go back to the original. You don't go back from what is now way back there. We are at the end time, and everything is has been exposed, and Brother Branham never ever mentioned anything like that. Well, so we talked about that, and then I realized afterward that so many people misunderstand anything and everything you say. It just seems they have a built-in receptor to pervert everything that is ever said. And I got to thinking, well, you know what they'll be saying? They'll be saying, now, you know, Brother Vail then doesn't believe that there's going to come a time when that mediation and intercession is actually laid aside. And Brother Branham made mention that there's coming a time when the temple fills with smoke, which is a time of judgment after the seals are open. And to my knowledge, he didn't say the seals are open, plunk, and then this temple fills with smoke, and then the blood is off the mercy seat. Well, the blood on or off the mercy seat, let's take his own words for it. He said one time that, just like every other student and theologian says, that Christ took his blood to purify the heavenly. The blood on the mercy seat, taking the type from the sprinkled blood here in the tabernacle, and also then in the temple as time went on. But then Brother Branham also said the blood fell upon the ground, went back to the elements. And see, that to me is like big faith and little faith. There's no such thing, faith as faith. You can use it big, you can use it little. You can use a day, you can use a night. You can use a night and day. There's no problem. What it is how the people look at and react to it. And if the blood was shed in my books as I look at it, which without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And if that blood was shed, I can understand no matter what happened to it was right. Because Jesus became the perfect satisfaction of God. So therefore he could look down upon us in perfect peace, Not at war anymore, not fussing, not fuming, nothing at all. You got the perfect peace there. But there is coming a day, which is true, when the temple will fill with smoke. There's coming a day when the foolish virgin and different ones might. Well, of course, they're already under the blood. But they could be pleading for the Holy Spirit, and there's no way the Holy Spirit's going to come. They could be asking God for many things, and there's no way anything is going to be done. Because remember, the earth is purged, the Jews are purged, and the church is purged. It's church, Jews, and earth. You've got the complete purging coming up, and that's coming up very soon. So what I was referring to is the actual ministry of Jesus right now. The actual ministry. And believe me, he takes his ministry with him when he got in his Father's throne. And remember, Brother Branham's final revelation to us concerning the fact there was one God, which there is. And you notice the New Jerusalem has a throne at the top. And the New Jerusalem, of course, is the bride. And Brother Branham said the Lamb is on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne. And you notice that right there again, he's between the bride, all of the rest of the children of God, and God himself. Then if anyone would try to tell me that the great ministry of Jesus has been lost and given away, I would just say one thing. You've forgotten to read the scripture correctly. For when Jesus asked that he might have restored him the former glory, he was only asking for what was his at that time. And the voice from heaven said, not only that, but a greater glory. And that's what Colossians tells us, that Jesus has become the controller. And this is how you find that even today the fullness of the Godhead comes bodily. The great shepherd, Elohim, took a body. The great creator, Elohim, took a body. Starting way back there when that light first formed, coming from God. So there is no diminishing at any time of his great work. There is only a further glorification. And I can see more and more how that to take away from sonship is to take away from fatherhood. And to take away from fatherhood is to take away from God. You just have to keep the thing in balance. Say what the word says and you'll get along so much better. Now, the other day also we were mentioning that I'd mentioned that Brother Branham had spoken concerning the 1946 being the year that, and evidently revealed to him by God, that Israel was signed into a nation apart from the United Nations, which took place in 1948. Now, Brother Branham, and when I mentioned this to Jack Bell, Jack is always ready and gung-ho. So he was sitting by his computer, and he hit the computer right now and began rattling off some of these days, the day that Brother Branham mentioned in 1946, and then I had Brother Vince get them for me here so I could go over them. Now, what you're going to find, and I'm not going to read all of these quotes, you're going to find that Brother Branham will say that on May the 6th, 1946, was the signing of that Declaration of Independence, that they have come forth as a nation totally sovereign. Now, that can be done apart from anybody. To me, that was in the line of a spiritual revelation, because I take it that Brother Branham knew what others did not know. Now, however, he does say that on May the 7th is when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And then at times he will say, on the very day that Israel declared itself a nation, or made itself a nation, whatever, signed itself into being, that's the time the angel of the Lord came to me. So, if we go back to May the 6th, 1946, and May the 7th, 1946, you're going to find some very obvious numbers that are quite fantastic. Now, May is a 5, and of course, 6 is a 6. Now, 5 is a grace, 6 is the number of man. 1946, remember, you have to add one, because 1946 means they've already passed that number of years, and you're into 1947. That comes out to a 3. So you have here, at the very beginning, You're looking at the fact that Israel's in the homeland. They got there by man. As Brother Branham said, I don't care if Zionism put them there. God was behind it. But you notice now that Israel has to be totally committed to God whether they want to or not, because God is definitely on the scene. And there's nothing you can do about it. The total commitment is there. Now, I prefer to believe, and I'm saying this because I like the way the numbers go, that Brother Branham is talking of 2 days, the 6th and the 7th. But I can't prove that. And I'm not talking to you as though this is a settled thing. I'm just looking at the numbers. Now, May the 7th, when the angel appeared to Brother Branham. Now, again, you'll find May is 5. But you'll notice that 7, because Brother Branham called perfection. Now, perfection, Brother Branham called God perfect in three, God's perfect in three. He called this completion. And this is exactly what a 7 is. A 7 is a matter of completion. So, all right, if the angel of the Lord appeared to Brother Branham, and he did, as a Gentile, to take the gift of healing to the world on May the 7th, which he did, in 1946, you will find here that May 5 is grace with 7 running out, because 7 is completion. And the word completion also means perfection. It means it's completely concluded in the authoritarian manner that God absolutely wants, or it couldn't be concluded. Now, you'll notice also 1946 comes to the 3. So you have the Gentiles. Grace completely runs out under the last prophet, and God is taking over. What did Brother Branham say concerning the seals? He said, all right, he said, when God's children erred in the Garden of Eden, he never sent an angel or a cherubim or some messenger. He himself came down, so today. And the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing the word. And remember, every word is in its season and can only be fulfilled in its season. We know that to be absolutely scripture. Then the seals must be fulfilled in this season, bringing us to what is termed completion and the perfection that lies in completion. And God is now sovereign. So what we're looking at here, both Jew and Gentile, whether they know it or not, it is the kingdom of God extending itself, and God is in control and will not let that control go until everything is fully established under the feet of Jesus Christ when we come back to reign and rule in the millennium. So here's your picture with numbers. It's a very, very good solid picture. Now, we notice also in May 14, 1948, in May 1948, there's 3 5s in a row. And that's when Israel is granted by mankind an extended period of grace, which the Gentiles don't know how long it's going to last, and they're determined to make it last, that Israel is a sovereign nation. And that's very good. But watch what Israel did in 1994. 666. They blew it. Now Israel's going to get purged. The Gentiles are going to turn on Israel. They've made a concord with the Pope already. Not the one that's going to come in 3.5 years and follows. But the concord is there now, and my thought is to you is this. It is later than you think. The squeeze will come down. Churches will be shut, as Brother Branham said. How much? I don't know what's all going to happen. But I do know that these figures show us here, and these are political figures, because it's a political calendar. There's nothing much you can do about it. It's really all over. And sovereign God is in complete control, but notice what Israel did at this time. As I say, they blew it. And there'll only be 144,000 that are going to be saved and brought out. Now, I cannot find any numbers in the Bible that give me any real clue to 48, because there's 1946 to 94 is 48. And then we go to 1948 to 1994, we come up with 46 years. However, just as a casual glance, I did find one number that's interesting in the book of Numbers, and I guess it's the 35th chapter, and the 7th verse. Well, we can read 6. And among the cities which you shall give to the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge. 6 cities for refuge. Okay? Which you shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them you shall add 40 in 2 cities. All right, 42 and 6 is 48, right? So all the cities which you'll give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, and give them in their suburbs, with their suburbs, and the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel, from them that have many ye shall give many, and from them that have few ye shall give few, and so on. Now, what intrigued me here was a city of refuge amongst that 48. And my thought is, 48 years later, does Israel have a refuge? Not now. They signed up with the Vatican. They've got no place to go. Well, let's look at 46. There's only one number that's 46. Let's go over to John, the 2nd chapter. Now, these are just things I'm looking at. You're not typing them saying, this is thus saith the Lord, William Branham, or anything else. This is just what I'm looking at. But I know the figures I've given you from May 6th and May 7th, May 14th, they don't lie. Those figures don't lie. They're very, very accurate. And I would be surprised if the penning of the Entente with Rome, if they were anything but 666, I want to lie down in the dirt and kick my heels like a child in anger and disgust and start crying. Couldn't be anything else but. Why? Because you're dealing within the system. And the system runs true. Okay, in John 2 and 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building. Israel had 46 years, and they blew it. Never should have signed anything at all. They know from their own Bible, the Old Testament, they know you don't sign anything with anybody. Your stay is upon the Lord. Now listen, God's right here taking charge. Don't think he's not. And they blew it. And that's what the Gentiles have done too. I wonder if the Branhamites have blown it. Say, he's here, so what? He's been here 2,000 years. When you get flip about this message, you don't believe death and life are before you. You don't believe the die has been cast. You're looking for something to come. And it's going to come and it's going to fool you. But the way it's coming today, my God, if you can get fooled by that, you never did believe anything except Pentecostal nonsense. Just tell you flat. You never had anything. All right, we're going to leadership. As we have been reading and discussing this message on leadership, we find the sermon is not a simple dissertation about being led or being a leader, but Brother Branham has brought in much doctrine. He covered sovereignty, especially the parts known as foreknowledge or pre-planning and predestination. He moved into Godhead for a quick explanation. He taught how a son of God's soul... That's, you get a son, comes from God's own soul, was a part of God himself, and how through material election, or natural, Brother Branham called it, we come into manifestation and adoption. So he taught that each eagle always was an eagle, was a part of God. Comes right down through Adam. God breathed in Adam the breath of lives. At that time, he became a living soul. In other words, he was able to propagate the soul. And Brother Branham categorically said that was not just breath or wind, that was the Holy Ghost, right? So, all right, God breathed into Adam, and thereby, by that Holy Spirit, he would be the progenitor of every child of God. He would be the disbursement and disperse the seed of God, which was Holy Spirit, which was God life. Just the same as horse life, cow life, pig life, butterfly life. See, people want to get mystical and mysterious. So when I bring down, say, God life, cow life, horse life, they don't like the idea. They want to be very mysterious. Species are species, and we are a God species. Adam was given that privilege. Well, so therefore, still today, through foreknowledge, election, and into the predestinating power of God, which is simply God doing what God said he was going to do, you come to the place of adoption and manifestation, and will eventually come, if we're bride, to the New Jerusalem. All right. We also constantly found him referring to his own supernatural vindication, which he declared to be the proof of a new message coming. In other words, if there's no message, something happened. Ran afoul. If this is vindication, why is God vindicating? And the point is, who did God ever vindicate? Always goes to the prophet. What is the prophet? He is a forth-teller and a foreteller. And they both have to do with God, who is laying down his word to the people, revealing it, giving them power to live in it. All of those things are in there. Without fail, he used the Alpha and Omega principle in referring to the businessman and God in human flesh 2,000 years ago, and the same thing is happening right now. He's confronting businessmen, many. Now, you think for 1 minute they're going to believe God is manifesting in human flesh? Here's a man, they know no man is like him, and he'll come against him with a little jump up and down, hoot and holler, tongues and hot air. Put him to the test. You couldn't even put Brother Branham to the test, although if you smarted off, he could pin, God would make him pin you right down even to death. Those things went over the heads. Went over the heads. That's why I say they, people can't see today. Live, die, sink or swim. They can't see we've turned a corner. They can't see we've dropped from the perpendicular. If you can't understand dropping from the perpendicular, I want to ask you just one question. Which way is up? If you're on the equator, it's this way. If you're the North Pole, it's that way. If it's the South Pole, that way. So, whoop, North Pole, South Pole. All's up. So when you're past the point of gravity in the perpendicular, there's only one place that goes up. You qualify. How can we not be past the perpendicular? You can even see by numbers, political numbers on your calendar. Take them right to the Bible. Now don't try to add sevens to them, because that's not how we're working. We're using a political calendar, and this is political. Okay. Human flesh, today is 2,000 years ago. Of course, that being so, God manifesting in and through Brother Branham will be rejected, and indeed already had been at that time. How sad that this truly fine young ruler took up with all the dead religion of his peers and associates, setting a pattern for this very hour. Now that's the Alpha coming to Omega. The peer pressure of religion is the same that's placed upon little kids who are too immature to face it. Oh, you're one of those gospels, you be up. They want to make you look idiotic, want to make you look foolish, want to make it as though you're not mature, you haven't arrived. Well, bless God, I'm never going to arrive with that junk. I've repudiated the doctrine of Trinity, the doctrine of oneness with Brother Branham. What do I get for it? I don't care who you talk to, accused of preaching two gods. Stupidest thing in all the world. I can read this Bible and show them. They go, huh? Isn't insanity just another name for mental deficiency? Oh, no, Brother Dale, because at one time they were efficient. Well, they're not efficient now. They're insane. They're insane. They're mad dogs biting each other. They're rabid. He and everything about him, this young man spells success. And nothing succeeds like success. Isn't that the axiom? And nothing fails like failure. But there's nothing like receiving a revelation. He and everything about him spelled success. In his own eyes and those around him, he was the ultimate model and possessor of all that is good in both worlds. But he was lost. And went to Hades. Even as it says is happening to the Laodicean church in Revelation 3:14-23, where they say we're rich, increased in goods. Rich, increased in goods. Knowest not thou art wretched. What's the word wretched mean? You think you're dressed up to go and visit with the queen? You're in your satin finery, so you think. And you'll get over there on the SST. Nothing is too good for you. And the true picture is this. You have nothing. You crouch like a beggar. I ask you a question. What's the Jew and the Gentile going to do when the paper goes... gone. Because the Jews have the paper. And no Gentiles have the gold. Except Rome. I wonder how people felt when it's mostly Jews, let's face it, the Wall Street Jews. Dealing and bartering in their stocks and all. The Bolskys, the Millikans, and the rest of them. The same thing in Russia, right at this minute. What do people feel like when they got stacks of paper? Everything's gone. That was that rich young man. And that's today. You can't tell people anything. I'm going to read rapidly from page 31 because we've been so long from this and take 215 and just skim through it to try to get a little bit in today. Notice this now. We find he was a great success. Then we find him later till he was a greater success until he said, I've got so much. Boy, he'd have made a real genuine guy of this day. That's a little sarcasm. Wouldn't he? Why, even my barns have swelled out. They're bursting. And I've got so much till I can say, oh, soul, take your rest. Let the other guys do it now. You've shown them how to do it. But what he did at the beginning, he rejected the leadership of Jesus Christ. His church, his intelligence, his education, all had led him to a success. That's true. And the Jews loved him. He gave them. He helped them. He gave to them. He helped them. He might have done this, that, or the other. But you see, he rejected the leadership of Jesus Christ, the eternal life, and the Bible said, he said, God said, "Thou fool, tonight your soul is required of you." I wonder if that sunk in. Well, he never heard it audibly, I don't think. So it did sink in when he fell over dead. But do the full gospel businessmen realize this is happening to them as it happened to Belshazzar? The handwriting on the wall, and Daniel pronounced doom, and he said, "The Medes and Persians have taken over your kingdom because God took it from you, and the Medes and Persians had already diverted the river and had crawled under Babylon." They didn't need the Trojan horse. They crawled in and took over. And as I've said many times, Belshazzar, he was just too dumb and too numb to something or other. He tried to give Daniel a third of the kingdom that didn't exist. And here's the full gospel businessman leading people and telling them, "Oh, I'll lead you. Oh, yeah, I'll show you how to get rich. I'll show you everything's yours. And oh, you'll have the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Make your rapture. Oh, yeah, millions now living will never die. You better believe that." Well, you better not, because the Bible said millions now living, billions will die. And eight people made the ark. And Brother Branham said, "Of 10 people at one time, thinking the same thoughts, which would be the revelation of God in one place, there'd be a rapture." Well, they're never going to get into 110 people in one place, I don't believe, because rapture is going to take place all over the world. I'm saying they couldn't get together, but I kind of doubt they will. I think he's just showing you this. Look, you just don't get this by any church affiliation or any group whatsoever. You've got to be a seed of God. The revelation must come through to you. You see, this man here, as Brother Branham talked about him, he believed in all which was reasonable. It was reasonable. And when things are reasonable, there's no faith. Because faith is deaf, dumb, and blind until you receive it. Then you watch your ears open and your eyes open and your mouth open. You've got to get something from God to put you in the straight and narrow, start your effort. And now we find him in the next place in hell, lifting up his eyes and seeing that beggar that he turned out onto the street in the bosom of Abraham. What's the bosom of Abraham? Well, that's simple. Bosom is a harbor, a place of care. So he saw too late that he was not the seed of Abraham, but this fellow Lazarus was. Now that's a pretty fine kettle of fish to wake up to, too late in the day. That everything that you thought you were a true child of God, you were of the royal seed and you weren't. And the very person you despised, the very person that recognized he was a beggar and needed help, the man looking for something, "Oh, you run from church to church, you're just church tramps." Okay, well, you get it all the time from these smart people. The women are worse than men, too. Unless you get a real soused man. But you'll find women will mouth off quicker than men when it comes to church any day, because woman types that church, and she's stuck with her own folly. And the man who should stand up for the doctrine, Brother Man said, he stands back and watches her. Like Adam, didn't he? Go down the drain with her. If you don't think I'm nice, I'm not pretending to be nice. I'm just being truthful. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth. What a fatal mistake, said Brother Branham. How that the churches had been right all the way that they went, and they still didn't have eternal life. See, now we're coming to the real meaning. Here we see that Brother Branham is getting to. The churches have not been able to produce Christ. They haven't been able to produce him manifested in human flesh the way Abraham did before the burning. It took a prophet and the people to come out. But the people that stayed in don't believe it. That reminds a sermon I preached not long ago, Thinking Man's Filter. You might have had it. I was going walking through the woods. I was squirrel hunting this fall. I looked down, and of course I can't call the cigarette company's name. You know it. There laid a cigarette pack lying there, and I just passed by in the woods, and I'd seen that package lying there, looked again, and it said a thinking man's filter, a smoking man's taste. I just started walking. It wasn't the Holy Spirit said, turn and pick that up. And I reached down and picked up a thinking man's filter, smoking man's taste, and I thought, America, firm here, selling death under disguisement to their own American citizens. In other words, they're a bunch of liars and hypocrites, deliberately condemning people to lung cancer. Now they find out colon cancer. Now they're finding out that tobacco is worse than drinking. As Brother Branham said, I would sooner see a woman lying on the floor drunk than a woman smoking a cigarette. My wife went through the ceiling on that one because she's a psychiatric nurse, and she's dealt with these women who get drunk and their feces are in their hair and they stink. They're covered with urine. And she said, how could Brother Branham say that? I said, sir, I'll tell you why. You're a nurse. You, the doctors and the husband people take care of her. They say you're on the wrong track. They try to help her. But you smoke a cigarette. You're the women. Oh, beautiful. Smoke some more. Certainly Brother Branham was right in his assessment. I would sooner see a woman drunk on the floor and her own feces and urine. I sure wouldn't touch her unless I had to. Than a woman smoking a cigarette. You understand what I'm saying? Well, it's good. Good you understand. Most people don't. There again, you see the little things, the little puff, a little puff, a little puff, a little more puffs. He said, under disguise, peddling death, as though it's fun, a great life. I was at the World Fair with Yul Brynner when he was there that time. And they were giving this test. And he put a cigarette, lighted it, of course, ran it across a piece of marble, wiped up the nicotine, put it on a rat's back, this white rat, you know. 7 days full of cancer, couldn't walk. And they said, you know, they say a filter. It's a gimmick. It'll sell more cigarettes because you don't get what you want the first time. You'll keep sucking more the second time. It takes so much nicotine to satisfy that devil, that's right. And when you take a filtered cigarette, it takes about 4 cigarettes to take the place of one. It's a gimmick to sell you more cigarettes. You cannot have smoke unless you've got tar. And tar, you've got cancer. And see how it is? The blind Americans looking for a rabbit to come out of a hat somewhere, they fall for it. That's a cute expression. It's very good. You can't have it. It's death. There's no rabbit going to come out and save you. You're going to die. And you're ruining your babies. They've known for years that secondhand smoke can give you a smoker's heart. Now they find it's even worse than first than having it yourself. You can't have it. It's death. I don't care which way you go. It's death any way you go. A thinking man's filler? A thinking man wouldn't smoke at all. That's right. If he's got any thought at all. Well, I thought they can just compare that to the churches. I think, has God got a filter? Yes. And every church has got a filter. That's right. They filter ones that come in. And they let a lot of death in too. Of course, they all pervert the word. How could you ever draw a denomination through God's filter? That's through the Bible, Holy Ghost revelation. Well, there's no way, of course. How could you do it? How could you draw a bobbed-haired woman through that filter? Tell me. How could you ever draw a woman that wears slacks through there? When it's an abomination for her to put on a garment that pertains to a man. Now remember what pertaining is. What are the distinguished appurtenances of a female in contradistinction from a male? And when you know that they refer to femininity and masculinity, then you recognize that anything that detracts from it in any way, that makes her less feminine, or him less masculine, or attempts to be hypocritical to cover it up, like the cross-dressers and all, and the homosexuals. You're gone. Now, let's just look at this. Anthropologist. Anthropologist tells you flat, Brother Branham agreed, that the Africans have black faces and the large flaring nostrils because of the climate and the soil. They are there with those conditions because there has been an atmosphere, which I'm going to call it that, an environment, creation, which has an influence. All right. Where was the first sign of homosexuality admitted in America? Amongst the Jews. Did you know that? Oh, yes. The Jews were the first ones to introduce the understanding. Why are so many Jews homosexual? Because the Jewish women are big mouths. They run everybody. I wasn't asked to when I said that, but I meant to bring it out that way on purpose. Because it's the truth. Want to wrap everybody around their fingers. And they say it was the influence of those women like an Oedipus complex that gave the boys a love-hate reaction toward their mothers. Now listen, they're creating an atmosphere. They're creating an environment. In the 1920s, way before homosexuality, women began cutting their hair and wearing men's clothes. But before they wore the men's clothes, they were very smart. They tricked the men by taking almost all their clothes off. And when they were dressed, they're almost in a state of nudity as per entertaining a male. I'm 80 years old and I know what I'm talking about. What was happening? They were creating an atmosphere, an environment. And the environment, let's face it, pertains to sex. Now, with that environment created, you cannot help but have homosexuals and lesbians. You can't help it. Because you've created the atmosphere. And remember, this does not take hundreds of generations to do it. Now, let me go to something here in the Bible. I'm going to go to Genesis. And remember in Genesis, the woman was co-equal with the man. Which she certainly was. At that particular time. And she was told, stay in here, be fruitful and multiply, and so on. Now, after the illicit sex, I'm going to take you now to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And in there he said to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now, if she had eaten an apple, what in the name of heavens has that got to do with conception? Why would you bring the penalty of multiplied conception if something had not been done relative to that area? You'd be stupid. It's like trying to treat your kidneys with a heart medicine. Come on, let's smarten up. Paul tells us flat in the book of Timothy what she did. She was seduced into an immoral act. And he said, even as she was seduced physically and beguiled by way of the womb, so the bride is beguiled by the womb of the mind, as Brother Branham brought it up. Now listen, let's go further. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It wasn't until that time that he ruled over her. Now, when the rule is relinquished, then she takes headship, and whether she knows it or not, she has become a male in her spirit, even though her appurtenances, as Brother Brown has said about that young guy that wore the earrings and the stupid hair and everything else, he said he maybe could prove that he's a male, but he ain't. He's a female in his spirit. And the woman has become a male in her spirit. Now watch what happens. Just watch carefully now. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree. Now he could have listened after Christ had been produced. Just like Mary. Joseph went to Mary once Jesus was born. No problem. And notice what the kids were. Disciples. Boys. Disciples. The girls, no doubt, wonderful, wonderful women. All seed of God. Be right there in the bride. Oh, did they mess things up back there in Eden. Now watch. Which I command thee, thou shalt eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now the tree of the knowledge, you're going to eat of the tree of life, for not trees you could eat of physically. But Paul, take your little parable all the way through And just keep that in the back of your mind, that that eating was a sexual act. Now watch. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And Brother Branham said, we don't know how the seeds got there, but they were there. Now that explains everything about every venereal disease in the world. You can take gonorrhea, you can take syphilis, you can take super syphilis, super gonorrhea, and now you can take AIDS. The thing is, it was there, waiting for the sex act. For the homosexuals and the lesbians. See, I told you, you just wait. A teacher will always find the exact answer. It takes me a while. But there's your exact answer. And science will admit, every one of us contains something in our body that can be reached and it develops into something. You like to think, oh, I breathe that through the air. Oh, come on. Look at, you could take a vial of germs, drink them down. No more bother you than nothing, unless your body was in a condition to receive a problem. So, there has been an atmosphere created. There has been an environment created. So therefore the church is in this ungodly mess until even the church is finding ways to redeem the homosexual and the lesbian. And they're even getting to be preachers. Not around here, bless God. So I find out you're even bisexual, get out before you get thrown out. Or brought before the whole congregation. Now look, that's what started it. Now you got the thing here, they're running the whole world and they're going to keep running it. I wonder how many full gospel businessmen are and their wives are either homosexual or lesbians. I don't know any. But they're out there, and Brother Branham said the increase in California 30% per year. Thinking man's filter. It couldn't come through it. See, there's no way. All right, how could you have a woman wearing slacks? How are you going to bring that through God's filter? How are you going to get a man that stands back and won't engage in the doctrine of the church and know what he stands for? Takes the head of his family and brings forth the doctrine. As Paul said, if a woman wants to know anything, ask her husband at home. Isn't it a horrible condition when there's a man and a woman living together for years and have children, and the pastor comes in and his wife can discuss the Word of God more avidly and intelligently than he can? I haven't found that here. I just know it happens. Of course, I haven't been around much. That's one good thing about being so tired all the time. You wonder why you crawled out of bed just to crawl back in again. God's filter would catch her out of there. It wouldn't let her come in. But the church have got their own filters. So I say that there is a thinking man's filter, that's God's word, and it suits a holy man's taste. Now there's the man right there. Okay? That's right, a holy man, not a church man, but a holy man's taste. And remember at the end time, he that is holy still, and he's righteous still. Because it's pure holiness, unadulterated word of God. That's the thing, unadulterated. There is a thinking man's filter. And a church member, I advise you to use that one. Because it brings in the world, and one lump of it is death. One lump leavens. Just one lump. You think for 1 minute that one lump of women's clothes and their haircuts. You see, that's not the whole thing. It's the man standing there that won't put the rule down. So what kind of a man is he? He ain't no man. He may be able to prove it, as Brother Branham said. You undress him. might prove he's a man, no doubt, but he ain't no man. The best he could be is a gigolo or something like that. I don't know what else he could be. He isn't a man. And that's not being tough. I'm talking about a God who is love. We're not talking about disinheriting and destroying people. You got to remember, God's in his essentiality is love. He has omniscience and omnipotence. But I tell you, you're under a tremendous bond of the oath of God for God to do you good because of love, and love is always manifested in predestination. If you want to know what the love of God is, people just don't buy the truth. I can't help them. I just preach up here, and that's all I can do. One little lump can leaven the whole body. Or was it just one little word, was it not, that threw the whole human race out of cater? Brother Branham now quotes, "Whosoever shall take one word out of this, or add one word to it, his part taken out of the book of life." In the Garden of Eden, what caused death, and all this sorrow, every heartache, every little dying baby, every little rattle in the throat, every ambulance screaming, every hospital, he does a beautiful job here, every graveyard, was because Eve doubted one word. Not all of it. It just perverted it. Now that's the key word, perversion. What do you call a lesbian? Well, I think she's the greatest thing in the world. Yeah. I say she's perverted. Homosexually perverted. And from there on, you have lesser degrees of perversion as per manifestation. But those are the great manifestors. Right there. Now, God said, man, Adam never stood up, you see. Never stood up. Man. Not the woman. The man. He alone is responsible for his wife. She'll never be responsible for him. Never, 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 never. He's the one that's responsible. Adam responsible, he blew it. Man. Adam didn't stand. They don't stand today. He was to keep every word of God. Now that's the first of the Bible. Now what about the end? Omega the same way. In the middle of the Bible, Jesus came. Now watch, that's the first. Omega we got. Now Jesus in the middle, 2,000 years ago. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Not just part, every one. Now we're going on reading new. In the last of the Bible, Revelation 22, Jesus gives the testimony of himself. The revelation of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And he said, whosoever shall take one word out of here or add one to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. Actually, he said it's a little different. Add a word, you get the plagues added in the tribulation. Take it out, then you get your name taken out. And I suppose there are those that have both, I'm sure, absolutely. Sister, you wear those clothes, think of it. Now there, Brother Branham has gone to meddling. What have women clothes got to do with it? Because God said so. And the men agree. Because you see, she started taking her clothes off. Then she began wearing his. Oh, don't tell me. I know what I'm talking about, for Pete's sake. Well, at least I remember that much. Now, you go through thinking man's filter, you'll have a holy man's taste there, right. You'll have a saintly taste. Sister, you that wear clothes, those clothes, think of it. You say, I'm virtuous to my husband. I'm virtuous to my boyfriend. I'm a virtuous girl. What about that sinner that looks at you in your unbecoming clothing? They look in adultery. Who did it? You'll be guilty. See, it's written in the Word. Oh, to be a thinking woman, not just go with the crowd. You might say, well, it might. Well, what if it does happen to be that way? He said so, and one word cannot fail. In other words, if she's the same trap that Eve was, you're not going to get away from it. And this is what Brother Branham says at the end time you're beginning to see. This is something that's very peculiar. It lets me know that in the world today in religion, there can be no reality in their minds concerning God at all and His Word. That women could feel they're better off in perversion and men allowing the perversion and entering into it. The atmosphere having been created by the women, due mostly to men's lust and all, because they work together on it. Now let's face it, if Adam and Eve were made co-equal to begin, in righteousness or innocence, they are co-equal in sin, no doubt. In other words, what I'm saying, they aid and abet each other. But if Adam had stood his ground, had Eve stood her ground like Mary? See, Brother Branham is asking men, you see your leaders, then get out here and lead. Stand up with the Word of God. Ah, they're too busy lying. Fap, I've been in their stupid cotton-picking meetings. Talk about a bunch of lies, selling sky blue stock and everything else. It's just worldly shenanigans. With all their millions, I said, they wrote me a letter asking for money. I just threw it in the garbage tin. I need my own money, use yours. They're just like the Kennedys and the guys in government, millionaires, billionaires. They won't take a nickel out of their pockets. They won't go and get rid of every hidden tax and put an add-on tax so you know exactly what you're paying. They won't put an income tax across the line. They won't do it. No, because they want all the money. They want yours, and they're pretending. So what am I trying to tell you? Full gossip, and a bunch of lousy, lying politicians. Everybody's born again, believer now. I'm sure Dole is. Dole doesn't want a common income tax across the board, certainly not. So Joe Bush earning $100 would pay maybe $1 that your income tax. And Senior Blow making $100 million that year, he'd have to pay maybe $1 million bucks or something, or $10 million bucks or something. Maybe 15 or 20 even. I don't know. No, Dole doesn't want that. No. Don't simplify. Don't let the American public know anything. And that's what the church is doing. Don't let them know anything. Keep it undercover. Well, I must admit he had a ministry, but you know, these Kentucky hillbillies, it went to his head and, oh my God, help us. A prophet? Yes, when he discerned that he was not a prophet with the word. Oh, he blew the word. You see, he's against the Trinity. He's against the three bears. You got no more proof Trinity than nothing. If you want a real Trinity, why don't you go to God, male, Mary, female, and Jesus, male? Huh? Why not? These guys are even too stupid for that. I don't say I'm smart, but merciful God. I'm not the only person who's got an IQ that you can use. Or know my left hand and right hand. Now, my left hand and right hand, they're not too good to me, for me, but I can sure use them. And I know which is which. Which side of the brain controls what. See what I'm trying to tell you? They're going to be judged, brother, sister. They're going to be judged. And they've already been judged. And the execution of judgment is barely lingering. A great man not long ago called me in his room and said, I'm going to lay hands on you, Brother Branham. You're ruining your ministry preaching such things. And I said, any ministry that the Word of God will ruin ought to be ruined. See? He said, I'll lay hands on you. You were sent to pray for the sick. I said, do you believe these things, brother? He said, no, but it's not our business. I said, whose business is it then? See? Well, that's a pastor's business. I said, look at the congregation. Huh? See that? See? Every year I pass through preaching these things, and I think surely they get it. Next year I come back, and they're more than ever. That's when they, titter, titter, ha, ha, ha. Good jokes on Brother Branham. We can wear our skirts the way we want. We can put our shorts the way we want. We can put our men's clothes the way we want. We can run the church the way we want. We can do what we want. Ha, ha, ha. Try and stop us. Well, no prophet ever stopped anything. He just gave the Word of God, declared judgment, went on home. But you wait till the fires begin to swirl, brother, sister. There's going to be a different kind of a scream, a different kind of a titter. I don't find this young man that got to be an old man lifting up his eyes in hell and laughing. He lifted up his eyes in hell and realized he was not a part of Abraham. Just a church member. Just a sex act. That's all he was. Yep. Merciful God. See, it goes to show that many are called and few are chosen. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is this a true word test for this hour? women's clothes, women's hair, and men standing back. All right, he hit it. Is this a true word test? You say, well, now, the true word test is, do they believe the revealed word? Well, isn't this a part of the revealed word? This is a true word test, whether you're a child of God or not. Or is it just a matter of identification? Well, certainly it's identification. You can't bypass identification. It identifies you. It identifies you. Thank God the women here are all decent clothed and good sisters. And you are to be commended, and the men are to be commended. Just keep moving on. But these tapes go to a lot of places, not just around here. And they give a lot of controversy. And they give a lot of help. You should hear some of the letters I get back. Beautiful letters. The leadership is the Holy Spirit, friend. Just a minute. The leader, a spirit of any description cannot lead you anywhere. Except in two ways. He can take you under perfect control, like a spirit of epilepsy, and tell you. You can't do a thing about it. Or he can talk to you. Now, what you hear, you act on, even sometimes to the place of compulsion, where my wife worked in the Hollywood Sand, a pretty young woman there, reached in and gouged her eye out. They just caught her in time so that her eye was saved. And the voice had told her, an eye for an eye. And she had to gouge her eye out. My wife said, "Was it what kind of experience? Was it a horrible pain?" She said, "It was terrible, excruciating pain. You'll never know." Spirits. So, all right, show me where the Holy Spirit actually forces anybody. Now, watch it. Now, that's a tricky question because he does it in his own way. But I'm talking now of actual forcing in the sense of the constant compulsion. You cannot find it. But you can find the Holy Spirit has defined himself and you and me in our relationship in perfection to God, for God, with God, through revealed word. Don't ever think different, brother, sister, because that's a fact. Because that is a fact. The leadership is the Holy Spirit. On what grounds? The word. It leads you and guides you into all truth. Ha-ha! What is truth? Truth is the ability to look at what is there and come up with the correct knowledge and understanding of what is there. And the beautiful part is, nobody but their elect will ever recognize truth. They'll love it, and they'll go for it. So therefore, when you say, what is truth? Leading to all truth. Except that be defined, and definition comes by word, there is no way we know. When he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he guide you into all truth. In other words, he will make God's revelation available to you in such a way that you will be a part of it in your thinking and your actions. And if you don't act with it, you'll be reprimanded. Take the thinking man's filter. That's the Bible, not your creed, not your church. You'll be lost. It's just a minute, Brother Branham. I got the same Bible you got, and I don't believe for 1 minute what you're saying because I believe what I see here. And Brother Branham said, just a minute, I'm vindicated. That's what he said. I'm vindicated. I'm bringing a new message. A new message? Just a minute, Pentecostal. Didn't you have a new message after Wesley? Oh, that's different. It's always different. Notice it's always different. I've got to be right. Merciful to heaven, how could I be right? What could I tell anybody I got? What can I show you? I haven't even got all my own teeth anymore except I paid for them. They fall out if I don't want you. That's the uppers. I can go to any doctor. He thinks I'm in wonderful shape. He's crazy. I'm about out of here. don't care what they test me for. It always comes up good, and it's all bad. So I'm trying to show you something here. Look, you just can't trust people. You can't trust churches. You can't trust crowds. You can't trust lodges. You can't trust anybody but God, based on what God said he would do and how he would do it. And if he doesn't, and I'm going to tell you something, people can say what they want, but the church has been in a limbo from the first church age. Right. It's been in a limbo. No way could it had a resurrection. It went into the grave in the fourth age. It came under 5, 6, and 7. And just at this time we have headship. And at no other time did we have it. And that headship is the Holy Spirit. And leading into all truth is the word for this hour, which is complete restoration, brought about by the prophet identified with Samuel, and yet stood with Moses and Paul as the three great prophets who faced the pillar of fire. Now, just a minute. Let's get this flat. If God did through Moses and Paul by face-to-face encounter to bring that word, here's the question. Why would he have to use a prophet who never brought the word and come to him face-to-face at the end time? Because it's a crisis. It's a juncture. And you have to have the same manifestation to prove that Paul got it. Now you've got it. And you're making it so no one will add a word or take away a word. Look at the security we've got. And all a woman's got to do to start with is just wash her clothes and her hair. Merciful God didn't even say you had to brush your teeth. She wouldn't stink. I throw the little goodies in every now and then just smart wake you up. I'm sarcastic, I admit it. That's all he asked. I often say, look, if pots and pans washing could get David off the hook, how much the blood of Jesus, the baptism, how much the end time sealer sealing us in himself to get us out of here? Our faith knows no bounds. That's why everybody's off the perpendicular and getting caught up. Turn the corner upwards. Oh, listen, brother, sister, this is not some fairy tale to give you little goosebumps or something. This is a truth that you take into your heart by way of your mind and spirit, going to give your body immortality. That's where that boy didn't think. He took the church filter. He became popular, a great man, but in hell. He lifted up his eyes being in torment. You know, brother, sister, too bad he didn't lift up his eyes before he got in torment. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not just going to suggest, I'm going to present to you what's happening right today, where people are going to lift up their eyes in torment very shortly, because they've turned down the same voice in Hebrews 12, verse 18, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched with and burned with fire. He's talked about Esau here, the fornicator, the profane one. But you haven't come to Mount Sinai, burned with blackness and tempest and the sound of trumpets, the voice of words which voice they heard and entreated that the word should not be spoken them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And so much as a beast touched the mountain should be stoned or thrust through with the dart, and so terrible the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you, 20th century bride, are come unto Mount Zion. Mount Zion. And unto the living, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. Oh, there he is. Judge to perfect. Come on in. And to the spirit of just men made perfect by the blood. And to Jesus the mediator. Amen. That's what he is right now. Of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Doesn't say used to speak and doesn't anymore. He's continuing. He keeps talking. For if they escape not or refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. or the one from heaven talks to us? Whose voice then shook the earth, shook it at Sinai, shook it at Calvary? But now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Why, you're coming right past the white throne. Yeah. The dissolution. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom, that didn't happen 2,000 years ago and Paul wrote this. Forget it. That opened the door. This is now, and I can prove it. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That fire could not come until the end time, Malachi 4. No way. This is an end time message. And I'm going to tell you, not just suggest, but tell you the truth. If we are of those who have not heeded this one that spoke from heaven, if we have not heeded God in the prophet, and God by the prophet manifesting 100% by vindication, it is he, what his will is and what he's doing and what he wants for us and so on, we'll lift up our eyes shortly because we didn't listen to the voice. I don't know. I hear women say the way to cut your hair is just get enough permanence and it'll crack off by itself. Just get a pair of scissors and chop your hair all off. Get over it. Don't be a hypocrite. I see men walk around as though it didn't matter. It does matter. Well, we got the chance, brother, sister. Come by the filter of God. It's nice to pass the test of God, and there's no great, great test to pass. Now you take the filter, the thinking man's filter, Jesus Christ, the Word, and you'll desire a holy person's taste. Isn't that true? When you're born again, you want to live for Jesus. I think the greatest cry we have in this heart of ours is that not we're ashamed of him, we're ashamed to think that he's ashamed of us. Could be, but Brother Branham explained ashamed to him by going to the Word. And if you believe this Word and love this Word, you stand up for it. You're not ashamed to him because he is the Word. Now, if you got the Holy Ghost in you, this satisfies. If the Holy Ghost isn't there, you say, oh, well, I don't think that means any difference. See, if you're not born again, what's the difference? Look what you've done right there. Same thing Eve did. You're right back in the same place. See? What's he talking about? He's talking about women's dress now. What about shoes? Do you know something? I'm going to tell you this. Women are no different from men. But you're going to find, every husband is going to find, and every wife is going to find, that your partner will go so far and no further unless truly born of the Spirit of God. Now you're going to find them. They'll not go any further. I hear them cry all the time. Well, all these high heels, the high heels. Why do women want high heels? Isabel must look horrible. She never wears high heels. I thought she looked great. Good serviceable shoes. I tried to get my wife the same way. Good serviceable shoes. Nothing makes you look better than your back right and your legs right and you're walking right because you got good shoes. You notice?
Amen.
Notice the filter? Men, will men stand for it? Well, they have little excuses or they'll bow to it. I can tell my wife couldn't wear high heels. She tried. She ruined her feet. But if she tried again, I'd chop her feet off for it. Just, I'd be nice to her by doing it, but for her own good. But it wouldn't come around to our house, not for 5 minutes. No. Yeah, Brother Branham lays a little thing out like this, and he said, it's not those big things, honey. It's those little things. They strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. These legalists try to do something about somebody, and they're just full of the horrible pits of sin. No more faith in the Word than nothing. See? Women's dress, women's shoes. And what do the men stand for? Men aren't standing up. No. Too bad, men. Brother Branham made a statement that really puzzles me. He said there's going to be more women in heaven than men. I'm quoting Brother Branham now, so you women don't think I've been hitting you this morning. I haven't. I don't have anybody around here that would do the things I've been talking about. But they're out there in the world, I know, because I run across it. And when I say out there in the world, I mean they're not in this church or someplace else. So, all right, Lord bless you. We've gone as far as we could go, which is not too great. But we're getting there little by little. And you can just see Brother Branham doesn't have a bone to pick, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If Brother Branham's a true prophet of God, you better believe he is. What are those people that night going to do on Judgment Day? The men are going to come and say, Lord, we cast out devils. We had great meetings. Even had Brother Branham amongst. That's right, absolutely sure. We cast out devils. He did great things. We got to come in. He said, no, he ain't coming in. What about you women that laughed that night? Ha, 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 titter, titter. Big joke. Well, Lord, the big thing isn't in that. Huh? What about the fact if you don't walk in the light when you have the light, what happens? Your light, what light you have becomes darkness to you. Huh? Every little pebble of sand, little bit of sand that you and I disregard from the Word of God, one day becomes a millstone around our neck. I don't want to have that. I want to be right with the Lord. And I just love this message because it's so simple, right down to earth. And my goodness, Brother Branham, the mouthpiece of God, didn't ask anything hard from anybody. Didn't ask anything hard from anybody. Just ask, come on. Come up to the Word. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your time of getting us together here in this meeting. We have taken our time, Lord, but we feel it's good to go over these things here, even if we repeat them sometimes, knowing that repetition can be good for us because it gives us a little more insight, a little more understanding here before to see where things have come or where they're falling off, where they're fading, where they're going on. And Lord, we do thank you for the revealed word. And in no time, Father, may we ever in our hearts say thank you, Lord, for bringing to us the seven seals, and that's so much better than cut hair and bad clothes and men walking off. No, we know, Lord, these little things here, if we don't have them, we can talk all we want about our revelation. How much we think we got, we don't have anything. So help us to understand that, Lord, to come right through the filter, the way it's been presented to us, and to the Word of God, Lord. We know, Father, we've got enough problems in life without ignoring this and getting greater problems, because this just brings on greater problems, and there's really nothing much to looking at it and going with it. How foolish is this world today? May we not be foolish. May we be wise. Vessels filled with oil. Word of life filled with life. Teeming in us and coming forth that they might know, even as the prophet himself said, if you ever dressed up, you should dress up for Jesus. That everything should center on him. Everything, Lord. And we pray that we might come to that beautiful harmony as never before. Father, help your people today. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Lord. Give us strength as we need it here and there, Lord, as we often do. And we know so many of us just don't have too much to rely on concerning the physical. But, Father, I do trust and believe that the inner man is being renewed even more rapidly. The outer man is going to pieces. And I see a lot of the outer man going down the drain. I certainly must believe then, Lord, the upper man, the inner man, is ascending more and more in the graces and light and truth of God. So unto thee we commend ourselves, and this beautiful word in our hearts and our minds, it might live through us, and we may grace your presence, O God, which presence we have today, that we are the dear children walking in the light. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.